Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program with a lot to discuss. So we're thankful you're joining us today. All right. Matt Marsden is going to be joining me in a moment. We're going to get into with him H-1B visas. He's got kind of a different take on President Trump's comments earlier this week that he wants to dive into. And there's a lot of fraud there when it comes to H-1B visas. We'll walk you through it in just a few moments. Plus, since we're going to talk about fraud, we might as well talk about Jasmine Crockett, who is an absolute fraudster, in my opinion. But most importantly, she's being exposed for spending a lot of money on, lavished hotels. I don't know who this woman thinks she is besides a troll that has professionally been able to infiltrate the, Congress at this point. But this woman just sits here and goes around and she thinks that she should be dropping thousands of dollars at places like the Ritz-Carlton. She's also spent a lot of cash over at the West Hollywood edition. And she just keeps dropping money, even in Vegas. Even in Vegas. We're going to go through the thousands of dollars that she has spent on, interesting enough, her lavish lifestyle. It's nice, you guys. If you're dealing with any financial issues, just run for Congress. That is the simple solution here, because all they do is seem to get richer and richer. We're also going to be joined in the third hour by Sean Atwood, who's going to be walking us through all of the latest stuff on Epstein as well. And there's a lot to dive into there. We'll also be taking your calls, too, in the second hour of the show, I should mention. So if you'd like to give us a ring, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be going back between phone calls, stories, and continuing it on because there's a lot going on in the world today. But I also want to give you guys the time to reflect on anything that we've covered thus far in the show. So let's keep with the topics we've discussed, news topics, over at 877-789-2539. We're also going to talk about Arctic Frost, the very latest there in regards to Chairman Jim Jordan, sending out another letter, looking for more information on Congressman Scott Perry's phone being seized. We'll talk about that. I'll also be breaking down the latest in regards to the FBI pipe bomber. Sorry, not the FBI. The whistleblower. Conflated. It's a FBI whistleblower pipe bomber story. That's the subject line of my notes here. That could have been very misleading, folks. Quick correction there. But I want to talk about this story because Congressman Thomas Massey is putting out a lot on X, and it's important to note that it's being kind of disputed right now. Dan Bongino just coming out moments ago and releasing what he claims are some more evidence that Thomas Massey is a little bit biased. Now, again, we'll go through the information and let you decide for yourself. But Massey's sitting here and he's afraid that whistleblowers are going to be retaliated against. And one whistleblower has come forward through his attorney, who I've personally spoken to before, too, in the past. He's someone who represents and works with a lot of whistleblowers. So we'll talk about this in just a bit. Plus, yesterday, President Trump held dinner for, and it was very concerning when I saw the list. We haven't gotten official confirmation, but this was originally a CBS report that came out saying that President Trump met with major CEOs of like Blackstone, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs executives. These are all executives that he met with too. Morgan Stanley as well. This is according to CBS. Now, I did report that he was scheduled to have a dinner yesterday that he was supposed to be hosting. We haven't gotten confirmation if all of those people were officially there yesterday. It looked like it was apparently closed to the media. But CBS is claiming that these were all the big heavy hitters that were there. This is probably why we're not getting, we're not hearing things we like from the White House, because these people have the president's ear, if this is true. The people that are looking to actively destroy this country and sell us out. A little discouraging. I know when I posted that yesterday on X, a lot of you guys were just shocked. And again, it is a report from CBS, but I have not seen the White House dispute this as of yet. So we will see if there's any information that does drop today about just that. So we've got a lot to kick off today in the second hour of the show. Again, give me a call if you'd like to chat about some of the stories we covered, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. A lot going on in the second hour of the show. Do not go anywhere. Plenty more to discuss. In the meantime, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is time to stock up on all of your favorite supplements, gifts for your family over at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, when you buy a supplement, you get a free InfoWars hat as well. Head on over to the shop and do just that. We'll be right back.
Oh. I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. The globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. Busy show, digging through the corporate media garbage, exposing the corruption, and debunking the nonsense. That's what we're doing on today's show, and we got a whole 3 hours of it for you guys today. I'm excited for my next guest. Matt Martin is going to join us in just a moment because there's a lot to discuss in regards to H-1B visa fraud. I want to walk you through this because Will Kane did an incredible job at exposing the abuse that's going on right now currently with our H-1B visas. And we all heard the soundbite of President Trump with Laura Ingraham earlier this week. And he was very favorable of the H-1B visas. Matt Marsden's going to want to discuss that because he's got a different take on it. But I want to play first this clip of Will Kane yesterday in clip 16, debunking and kind of walking the Americans through the fraud that's going on right now with H-1B visas. Take a listen.
700,000 H-1B visa holders in America. Now, who is coming to this country to take these high-skilled jobs? As I mentioned, STEM fields dominate the occupations. And most of the workers come from India. In fact, 70% of H-1B visa holders come from India. Another 10 to 15% come from China. 80% of H-1B visa approvals are for entry-level or junior-level jobs. That's a little hard to stomach when we hear that we're not talented enough or that we're not skilled enough for these jobs when you consider that most of these jobs are actually at entry or junior-level jobs. And it's definitely to the benefit of corporations, tech companies, that can hire foreign workers, trust me on this, cheaper than American workers. This is laid out, by the way, by billionaire tech entrepreneur Palmer Luckey.
There's so much H-1B abuse. You would not believe what I saw when I was in Silicon Valley. It is insane. It's obviously a program to try and replace U.S. workers with basically slave labor that can't ever escape. H-1B abuse is crazy.
Is one of my favorite people to have on the show. Please welcome Matthew Marsden to the program. Obviously, he is an actor, but he is also someone who is going to enlighten us with his different take on this H-1B visa controversy that stirred up earlier this week, and we're excited to have him on. You could follow him on X, Matthew D. Marsden. That's Matthew D. Marsden. Welcome back to the show, my friend. We're excited to have you on. Okay, so we heard President Trump make those remarks to Laura Ingraham, and she pushed back at him, and it didn't really sit well with a lot of Americans and a lot of his base. I mean, they're calling it out, but you see this differently. So enlighten us, my friend.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on. And I feel that I have to just say before I say any of this that I'm absolutely, as you know, America first.
Yeah.
I'm probably the most militant person you'll ever meet when it comes to immigration, especially illegal immigration. For someone who's been through the system myself, I know quite a lot about it, and I'm completely against the abuse of the system. But I think the two things can be true at the same time. I think that there is most certainly an abuse of the H-1B visa. We know this. I mean, this is absolutely clear to anyone who has been in these fields, especially in the tech fields. But I think that what Donald Trump, as we know, look, when Trump speaks, he's normally talking about the last thing that's been on his mind, right? The thing that's most current in his head. So firstly, he says to Laura Ingraham, yes, when she says it's got to stop, or words to that effect. But then he says, we have to bring people in. And I think that if you're looking at Donald Trump, who what he wants to do is bring manufacturing back to the United States. Okay. So let's just say you've got South Korea that is putting billions of dollars into the United States, and we have to create manufacturing capacity, let's say on batteries, for example. And we do not have the people that have done that in the United States, or if they have, they're already employed. Well, you have to bring people in to train Americans to be able to do that job. Now, we might not like that, but the fact is that we've allowed our manufacturing base to diminish over the years. So what he's saying there is just kind of practical. Look, we can bring people in and then they can train Americans up. So that's the first thing. It doesn't mean that they should be here forever. And of course, I'm not saying that there is an abuse. But that is a practical thing, right? If we do not have the talent here to do that in certain things, and we don't, because we've lost a lot of our manufacturing capability over the years, which is tragic, but we have to bring these people in and they should go again. Secondly, when you're looking at the STEM fields, either we have DEI in our colleges or we don't. Either we are bringing people in that are less qualified and they're leaving less qualified, or that's not true. And I think most of us know that with a leftist takeover of our colleges, the level of the people coming out has certainly diminished. And so I think that those two things can be true at the same time, that we need to address our colleges. We need to push more people into the STEM fields and train them and be merit-based. Again, I think that he was slightly taken out of context. And because this is such a raw thing for Americans, they're like, hang on a second, you're saying that we're not skilled enough. But I don't think that was his intention. I think what he's basically saying is there are some people that we do not have the qualifications for these particular jobs, and I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to bring them in. Because if you see at the very beginning of the interview, which people kind of are conveniently like, you're just passing over, he says, yes, but... So I do think that is true. I mean, this is something that we have to address. This is coming from a theatre major, right? I'm a theatre major. We joke all the time on the right about people going into doing gender studies and all this, and it's true. What is also true is we should be restricting any access to our colleges from foreign nationals. So this is a holistic thing that I think that we've kind of reacted a little bit emotionally because the system's been abused so badly over the years. And I don't necessarily think that Donald Trump means what people are saying that he meant.
Yeah, well, it was hard to stomach when we heard the clips, I have to say. And, you know, the Treasury Secretary yesterday did clarify and said, yeah, these are people that they're going to bring into the country to train Americans and then leave. But the reality is most of these people never leave. And we have so much abuse there where they stay where they are. And then, you know, ICE is forced to go grab them up because they just don't get out of our country. So there's that. I think most Americans, if he would have just clearly said that these were foreigners that he's going to bring in to train us up on all these programs, and then we'll quickly get them out of here as quick as we can, I think they would have been able to stomach this a bit more. I think it was discouraging that we didn't hear that, because I remember hearing Ingram push back in the interview about the H-1B visas, and President Trump just saying, we're never really going to agree on this issue, Laura, and kind of, you know, that was his default. But he also, earlier this week, got a lot of people upset, too, when he sat there and said that we're going to bring in 600,000 Chinese students into this school, into this country. I thought it was a mistake because Ingram mentioned the number 600,000. I was like, oh, he's going to correct her and say, oh, 200 or but the number has since skyrocketed. Apparently now it's the 600,000 Chinese students that we're letting into this country. So how are American students supposed to even compete to get into these key positions where they could learn these skills if we're bringing in so many foreigners into our public education system or to our private education system as well?
Well, I'd argue that it's a national security threat. I mean, yeah. I don't know why we're bringing anybody in from an enemy of the United States to go through our education system. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the transfer of wealth and money going over to countries that hate us. Well, why are we educating the countries that hate us and that they're clearly a threat to us? I think that there is, even in our government, there's this kind of mentality where they say, well, just because we are at war with them, they don't realize that they are at war with us. And it's a huge problem. I mean, you could get me on the whole college system. I mean, I could go on forever about this, about how expensive it is, how it prohibits Americans from getting involved, how most Americans don't want to send their kids, certainly shouldn't send their kids to the Ivy League schools, considering their indoctrination camps for the left. So, I mean, this is a huge problem. And even let's just say they are, which we know they are, the elite schools are indoctrination camps for the left. What does that do to the Chinese nationals that are coming over, that are being taught that America is a bad place and capitalism is evil? It's reinforcing that. And this is not a good thing. So I think that, again, there needs to be a little bit of nuance when we're talking about these things. And Trump, who is normally pretty good at his messaging, I think there's a huge own goal with that discussion with Laura Ingraham, and coming off the back of, like you're saying there are going to be 600,000 students come in. It's not as if that these colleges need the money. I mean, I'm all for cutting all funds off these schools, especially the big Ivy League schools like Harvard. And you see the left like utilize them as a cudgel to hit the right with. For example, oh, look, I've had this funding cut. I'm at Harvard and I'm studying to cure cancer. Well, they have $50 billion in endowment. Use that. So what we're seeing in America, even with the college systems, is it's loading our kids with debt. There's no reason for it to be as expensive as it is. It's a complete and utter scam. And this, by the way, I was critical earlier on this week of Trump again, saying we got a 50-year mortgage. The 50-year mortgage is an absolute disastrous idea, as is a 15-year car loan. I mean, these things are just number one, kicking the problem down the road and burdening us and our kids. I mean, it's literally like indentured servitude that your kids are going to be paying for your mortgage. No, that's not the way it is. We need to make our houses more affordable. The interest rates are still too high, and people are struggling to live right now. And so saying get a 50-year mortgage is just a disastrous idea that no one with half a brain would ever want to let their kids. I mean, certainly if my son said, I'm getting a 50-year mortgage, I go, what are you talking about? Especially when we need to revitalize urban areas, and with remote working, we can go out to these urban areas that have over years have kind of fallen into disrepair, and we can revitalize them, which most conservatives would want anyway. They want to get out of the cities. They want to move out to these areas where they have community again. And all you've got to do is come off the freeway anywhere in Texas, and you'll find a delightful little town that might have been around in the oil boom, that there's nothing there anymore. And what we should be doing, instead of looking at 50-year mortgages, is looking at investing into these communities and building them so it's affordable.
Yeah. And that brings up my next point, too, because, the administration is touting the economy right now. And I don't think most people are feeling they're not feeling the benefits from the economy right now, is kind of where I'm getting at with this. And I think hearing the president mention 50-year mortgage rates to me, or mortgage loans to me, it's insane. But it also kind of sounds like he is admitting that he cannot really reduce the rates, the interest rates, to the point where it's going to be affordable for most Americans. And then this is his alternative. And it's a horrible way to look at it. But it kind of sounds like he's throwing up the white flag on the housing crisis issue. You can't really reduce the cost of homes these days, because the boomers will then have to feel that financial hit. And then the young people, the people in their 20s, 30s looking to buy, the reality is they probably, I would have to say, I think the average home loan is, or the average home cost, is around $400,000. Most people can't afford that. It's not reasonable for most Americans to start off at that level. And so they're being priced out of the system and forced into renting. And there's a whole, obviously, with all the companies going out there and BlackRock, and you're competing with, it's unbearable for most Americans. And when we look at the numbers that are coming out, and I saw this story in the Daily Mail, I thought it was quite fascinating. They're seeing a foreclosure surge amongst Americans, saying that foreclosures have surged 20% as Americans struggle to pay their mortgages right now. And apparently there's fears that we might be on to the next 2008 style crash soon. What do you think of this? Because you brought up the 50-year mortgage too. What do you think, when it comes to all of this, how Americans are going to be able to combat it and be able to purchase homes right now? Because most Americans are struggling to afford the ones that they currently have now, it looks like.
Well, I think you have to look at this holistically instead of looking at one particular thing, like looking at mortgages. If you're bringing in 600,000 students, for example, and then they're going to stay over here, a lot of those students that come over come from communist China, but they have money. So all of a sudden, that's 600,000 people with families that are taking homes from America, from the American people. So, of course, you know, it's supply and demand. If you look at what happened in Canada, for example, they were flooded in Vancouver and Toronto with Asians coming over and buying up their houses. So the house price just absolutely went through the roof. It's the same with California. Those houses aren't being bought by Americans. They're being bought by foreign nationals. So that is part of the issue. And then you have to look at other elements that the immigration issue has, the impact that it has. For example, the amount of people that get hit in their cars by illegals or by people that haven't, illegals that don't carry insurance, means that the insurance prices are jacked up for everybody else. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, Brianna, many, many years ago, I was told that when I hit 25, my insurance rates would go down. My insurance rates have gone up and up and up. I don't think there's been a year where my insurance rates have gone down. And I will say this, the American people are being ripped off. And there are practical matter. There are practical steps that could be done to stop that. For example, I pay as much per month on my insurance as my sister does for an entire year. That is not right. It's not like you're looking across at the UK and saying that things are very, very different there. The only thing that is really different is the litigation, the amount of money that people sue for. Well, there are things that we can do to limit that. Now, and I'm all about getting government out of things, but if your insurance for you to get your to actually go to work is going up, that's another bit out of your budget. Then you look at health insurance costs; they're exorbitant. They've since I've been in America, they've just gone up and up and up. Now, I am not advocating for an NHS style system, but it's broken. And one of the things that actually really frustrated me, I'm very glad that President Trump is doing these deals with these drug companies, but they've been ripping off the American people for 20, 30, 40 years, and they've made all these profits. Am I meant to feel happy about them now actually giving us the same prices as what they have in Europe? I mean, I remember if you go to get an inhaler, for example, the most you paid in the UK was £6 for your medication. And I remember coming over here and trying to get a medication for my kid, and it was $100. I'm like, Americans cannot afford this. It is unnecessary, and something needs to be done. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it's not necessarily the insurance company's fault. It's the red tape with the government. Okay, if it's the red tape with the government, we got a Republican government, start cutting it. But that's when we look and we go, well, who is donating to you? Who are the people that are putting funding your campaigns, and why aren't people pushing back on this? So it's not just one thing. You've got an influx of people coming in that are pretty much lawless, that they don't feel like they have to abide by the same rules as Americans. And this is where the American people are getting frustrated, especially if you go to the ER and you see all these people there that aren't from the United States. They're all speaking Spanish or different languages, and you know that they're going to get free healthcare. And this is, it's absolutely unfair. And the government needs to sort this out. And then that will reduce the cost for the American person. But they're just not doing it right now. Yeah. And it's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, there's so many mistakes going on right now. And it's frustrating to sit back and watch. I also, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Matt. I want to play clip 17 for you because the White House yesterday came out and said that they probably won't even ever release the job data numbers for the month of October. Take a listen to clip 17.
The Democrats may have permanently damaged the federal statistical system with October CPI and jobs reports likely never being released. And all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period.
Okay, so I understand the government shutdown probably had some effects on the job report numbers. Do you think that they're not delivering it because it's going to be such a horrendous number that's going to drop from them? Or do you think that there actually are these lasting effects going on right now due to the shutdown where they just don't have the capability of releasing it?
I mean, it's very difficult, right? It's very difficult to say. But I mean, if you're looking at as we're seeing, like the messaging that's coming out of the White House right now, it's really damaging. So, of course, it's natural for people to turn around and say, well, surely it's bad, because why wouldn't you get it out there? As far as I'm concerned, I'm not so bothered about the job numbers. And the reason being I'm not so bothered about the job numbers is because we should have gone through in the shutdown, the federal government, and fired a ton of people. And they needed to be in the private workforce because our government is massively bloated. And I think that this is part of the issue that the American people are feeling right now, is they're feeling like we're not moving forward. Like, as much as we expected things to change, it's not changing, especially after we came out the gates, right? With DOGE and everything was moving really quickly. It appears to kind of been edging back to, you know, business as usual. And the American people will tolerate that if they're seeing, they'll tolerate like a little bit of the process going through if it's not affecting them. But as you said, it's massively affecting Americans. They're really struggling even to eat, even to pay the bills. And so the American people's patience grows a lot shorter when it's really affecting them. So I think the White House and the Trump administration, they have a lot of issues right now to deal with, and they need to start taking action. And as I said, okay, you're reducing the amount of money we have to pay on prescriptions, but it's a similar thing here in Texas where you hear, oh, okay, well, we're reducing the cost of your property tax. And then we all know that your house is going to be appraised at more money. So it's just a wash. So it ends up not being a net gain for you in any way, shape, or form. And the American people are switched on and they know this. So now they're looking and they're saying, you're not doing enough for us. You're not looking after us. There are certain things like, why isn't he really pressuring the Fed? Remember that? It was all pressure on the Fed. They dropped the numbers after. I mean, clearly the Fed's trying to screw the Trump administration, yeah, right? In my opinion. Mm-hmm. So why isn't he pushing back on them? Why do we even have a Fed, by the way? Why don't we abolish the Fed? And there's things in there, like with the taxes as well. Just rip it all up and say, okay, we're going to have a consumption tax, for example. Because people are getting absolutely screwed right now. And the American people can't get up for air. They're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt, before you go, too, I want to get your take on this, too. Speaking of struggling, because if you're struggling, you probably should just run for Congress right now, because those are the people that seem to not be struggling. They get paid during government shutdowns. They also get these luxurious hotel arrangements. Jasmine Crockett filing with the FEC, and it looks like she spent about $75,000 on luxury hotels on trips in Vegas and New York City, and so many incredible trips that she has racked up these dollar bills on. I mean, Ritz-Carlton spent over $4,000 over there as well. She also drops cash on her own private security, which I don't have a problem with if you're not someone who's advocating for defunding the police, but she has, and she spent nearly $50,000, according to Fox, on private security. You got about 30, 40 seconds. Your reaction to Jasmine Crockett just being an absolute hypocrite?
Well, I think that every single person that comes out the way that she does, and by the way, I really, really do hope that she runs. I really hope that she's the face of the Democrat Party, as they're saying.
Yeah.
But every single person on the left and on the right, by the way, that bloviates like she does, needs to be investigated, because almost every single time, they are the ones that are guilty of doing what they accuse everyone else of doing.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. That's usually how it happens. Matt, thank you for jumping on with us. Of course, we appreciate your insight on all of these issues, as always. Give him a follow on X, folks. Matthew D. Marsden. That's Matthew D. Marsden. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you.
Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because, folks, we got a lot going on over there. When you purchase a supplement, you're going to get an InfoWars hat for free. So you got to head on over to the shop right now. And it's time to buy. I've already done some of my Christmas shopping. And we've got those Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free right now over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. As many of you guys know, we do these buy one, get one free deals for a few hours. So that's what we got going on over there right now. So head on over to the shop and stock up. There's so many incredible deals going on right now over thealexjonesstore.com. More next.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order not just Methylene Blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexandstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the Methylene Blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives? Not just have a nice hat and spread the word and meet my line of people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts. And I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight Central Time at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And thealexjonesstore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Bigly. It hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're taking your calls in this hour, so give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a call. We want to keep it to topics that we have discussed thus far, of course. So give us a call. I'm going to play clip 15 for you guys because before we jump into the calls, because this one was really interesting. Tim Tebow went on a podcast and he broke down the numbers in regards to this pedophilia issue that we have in this country, but specifically child pornography. And it was quite the alarming interview that he gave when he decided to pull up a map and just give New York as an example and show the American people how many predators we potentially have out there right now who are downloading child porn in the state of New York. Take a listen.
It is one of the worst evils in the world, and it is happening all around the world at a massive scale. but it's also happening right here in the U.S. And right now, this year, somewhere between 300,000 to a million people will be trafficked in the U.S. And so many of those will be minors. And trafficking is a horrible, horrible evil. But also something that's really important to highlight is the exploitation.
Of the traffic.
No, the exploitation. So a lot of people bunch them together, but they're a little bit different. Trafficking is primarily done for profit. Exploitation is primarily done for pleasure. So exploitation is done on the most of the time on the internet, and there'll be like peer-to-peer networks that someone download a peer-to-peer network, and they will share child rape videos, and they'll be part of groups that goes back and forth. And we just think this is happening, you know, over there somewhere. But I pulled something just for you guys. Can y'all pull that up? You see that? Those red dots? This is New York State. That every red dot is a unique IP address that is downloading and sharing child images and videos. And that's just the last 30 days in the state of New York.
Jesus. Whoa.
And
is the FBI arresting these people?
Well, do you see the blue dots? Those are the ones that are being investigated.
That's so it. Just investigation?
The blue dots are the ones that are being investigated.
But if you have a confirmed IP address that's sharing this type of content.
So like, it's a good conversation, but, and a lot of people will say, well, how are they not doing more? Our law enforcement, can areas get better? Of course, but our law enforcement is so undermanned. It does not have many places, does not have the best tech. They are undermanned. There is a few people that are, their job is this. It is not a lot. Like we have, you know, we want to talk about all these things and they can't, you know, and defund them. Listen, when you defund them, you're not actually caring for these boys and girls. Mm-hmm. I think we need to escalate how many hires we have, especially in victim identification, to keep these boys and girls safe. It's one of our bills in Congress. It is the Renewed Hope Act, is so that we would hire more victim identification specialists to be able to identify these boys and girls so that we can knock on that door and go safeguard that
Why
child.
Do you think that this is not unanimously supported or even spoken about? Like it seems
well, we've
like
been speaking a lot about it.
Of course you guys have, but like,
why is it not amplified?
Yeah.
Like, I think it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Well, we wrote our bill specifically in a way for right or left, because for us, it's not about politics. It's about people, especially people that are suffering. Yeah. And this is trafficking, except this is just trafficking down the hall.
Yeah.
The number one offender in this, biological fathers.
No way.
Whoa. Yes.
Do you think people aren't doing more about this because we feel, oh, this is a problem over there?
I think that is a big part of it. Yes. I feel like we think it's just over there. And
over there, meaning overseas.
Overseas. Yeah, we think it's Taken, Liam Neeson. We think it's all of these other things when it's not. We have so many issues that are taking place right here in our country. And I could keep going off list. We're the number one buyer of rape for boys and girls around the world. America is.
Meaning like videos of it?
Yes. We pay for the rape of boys and girls in the Philippines, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Thailand. Like we're the number one buyer. In peer-to-peer sharing of this information, we're third worst in the world. China, Russia, U.S., and Italy's fourth. Like this is one of the worst evils in the world. And people think, well, we're not doing that. Yeah, yes, we
do so really think that.
I know we do.
Yeah.
And that's... that's one of the, you know, our hearts is to get this, you know, message out to
Tim
be able
Tebow
to make change.
And his wife are doing an incredible, incredible job of trying to expose all of this. But as you heard him outline, most people don't even realize that the United States is one of the biggest importers when it comes to child pornography and sexual assault amongst kids, rape. I mean, there's no other way. I hate saying sexual assault. I think it's demeaning because it's a lighter way of saying the word rape. In Travis County, this just highlights the fact that nobody really cares about this issue. I know, like, you know, you have Tim Tebow here, but the prosecutors, the people who, you can write out all the bills you want, but when law enforcement's refusing to do their job, which we've seen time and time again, and when prosecutors are refusing to do their job, because we've seen that time and time again, what kind of bill can you draft up that's going to actually hold these people accountable? Travis County is an absolute dump. because the prosecutor, who's obviously George Soros funded, continues to release violent criminals, but most importantly, individuals who admit to raping children. A Texas man was accused of repeatedly raping a child. Well, in Travis County, he is now avoiding prosecution in a plea agreement. Of course, he struck after being hit with 9 felony counts. He struck a plea agreement which will allow him not to go to prison. Now, the parents of that victim apparently said that they had no idea that this deal was being given. Telling one of the local news affiliates specifically that he was not made aware by the prosecutor and was completely blindsided by the decision. Happens time and time again in Travis County. Now, again, he, according to this report, Richard Bell is the individual here, has accepted this plea agreement. He will get 5 years of deferred probation. Will have to register as a sex offender and is being blocked from contacting the victim. When somebody admits to committing such a heinous crime, in normal states, without any politics, you could sit here and say, most Americans would probably want that individual to go to the death penalty. This would be a death penalty case. But not in Travis County, because Travis County has been infiltrated by lefties who have just decided to just take over the criminal court system. They don't care about laws, holding people accountable, justice for rape victims. No, no, no. The father is saying that we were not even notified. It gets even worse, though. It really does in Travis County. Again, I continue to follow it. As many of you guys know, InfoWars employee, one of the staffers, the writers here, Jamie White, was murdered this year. And it looks like, but they're hiding it because, of course, these are juveniles. They could, potentially are going to drop, and we don't know if they've done it yet, the capital murder charge that was hit on all four of the suspects involved in that. Two of them are minors, and it looks like potentially those charges are going to be reduced as well. This is what goes on in Travis County. They have more empathy for the actual perps rather than victims of crime. But good news, and this has me feeling good, because Florida is the future. Florida yesterday actually announced that they're going to go after one alleged pedophile. They've indicted a man named Nathan Holberg, and ultimately they are charged him with capital sexual battery against a toddler. Now, according to the court filings yesterday, they are now pursuing the death penalty against this predator. So just in comparison, to compare how we actually handle these types of cases, Florida is going to seek the death penalty against the man that they allege raped a toddler. But in Travis County, Texas, a man who just took a plea deal, they let him free. Now we'll give you a little probation. And we'll tell your neighbors you're a sex offender. And that's it. The comparison, people, is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. All right, I want to take some calls. If you haven't done so already, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking calls, diving into stories, and bouncing back and forth over the next, I'd say, about 40 minutes. So let's take our very first caller. Let's bring on Wild in Wisconsin. Wild, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I have a couple points, but first I was wondering if you heard of DACO, D-A-C-O?
I don't think so. Mm-mm.
It's kind of like TACO. Have you heard of that, the acronym?
Not the acronym itself.
They were saying on the mass media that Trump always chickens out and DACO and Democrats always chicken out with this government shutdown, you know, because they're massive gaylords. And that's why they just, like, pivot over to, like, the Epstein stuff. They have no creativity. They just have to switch over and copy the moves that worked for us. Uh-huh. And Epstein and the whole child trafficking thing was huge during the 2016 election and the past election, you know, and it's a deep rabbit hole because of the intelligence ties, you know, with Mossad and the CIA doing honeypots. And it's just a dark and dirty business, evil world. And, you know, like the witnesses said, you know, it was a Jewish supremacy cult, and you see all the restrictions that go on when Israel and anti-Semitic stuff is button issue because of the power lobby over there, and something that's been an issue for all of time, I think, for thousands and thousands of years throughout history. And, you know, the witness, Virginia Jeffrey, I was reading in the articles, they all said she committed suicide. Like, she was very adamant in saying that she would never commit suicide, that she was going to take this battle to the end. She was hit by a random school bus also before she died, and then her kidney shut down after going to the hospital. So I think she was murdered. It's one of the reasons I think Epstein is possibly alive, in my opinion, because it's like, why else would witnesses be getting murdered and murked in mysterious, weird ways? But I thought that was bizarre that, you know, they're just saying that she was she committed suicide, even though she explicitly said multiple times on video and on Twitter that she would never do that because, you know, she was raped a lot and was a victim, and she wanted to fight for the other victims that couldn't speak. So I think this Epstein stuff is going to continue. I think they planted stuff on Trump like they've done many people before, you know, and they're going to just keep going on with this. You can see the same strategy the Democrats do with bringing up grocery prices, like how we were bringing that up before, and now they're bringing it up, you know. So it's just the same strategies over and over, and, you know, dumb, brainwashed American will just latch on to any NPC programming cartridge just slammed into their skull. So it's just something we have to deal with. But then lastly, I'll try to be real quick. I think one of the good things that we should do is have Russia come and help us with fighting the wildfires that are starting in California. They have a service that's international that when, like, Chile has a wildfire, they can call Russia and they come and do their water bombing, and then they go, and that can be done in tandem with U.S. Firefighting fleets. And I think it can be used as a sweetener for the peace process in the Ukraine and Russia war. As Trump knows, there's nothing better in business than exchanging money and doing monetary services between countries of, you know, millions of dollars. And I think it would really stick it to that that cocaine addict. What's his name? Gavin Newsom. I think it would really stick it to Gavin Newsom on his poor ability to run his state if, you know, we just put out the wildfires before they spread and cause all this damage. I don't know if you saw, as of yesterday, they're creeping up into the Malibu Beach area again, and there's rain forecasted tonight, so there could be mudslides.
Yeah.
You know, I see these wildfires, and they just let them burn. And I'm so concerned about the climate because it releases all this smoke and particulate that just wafts over the entire U.S. I've heard rumors and conspiracy theories that, like, the nefarious agencies in the U.S. plant drugs, plant drugs in them. So when they burn the chemicals and the drugs waft over the U.S. and we breathe it all in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if we need the Russians really, though. I think we probably should be able to do it ourselves at this point. It kind of like goes with my H-1B visa argument. Why can't we do it ourselves? We should be able to. There should be probably a federal entity that helps out with those types of cases. But I'm no expert on that front. But, oh, man, I mean, I don't see the Russian angle being very popular these days with bringing in the Russians to help us out with our own wildfires. I think that would be an admission of fault, an admission of we can't handle this ourselves. We have to rely on the Russians. So I don't know if that gains much in the way of support, but I want to thank you, Wild, of course, as always, for calling into the show. We appreciate it. We'll keep our eye on the wildfires, of course, because we know that's the ones that were taking place last year. Those were, according to our own government now, admitting that they were set intentionally. They were arson. So none of that is surprising to me. All right, I want to turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Tim.
Talking about Gavin Newsom, we were just saying the other day he was trying to find his well anyways. He was in Brazil just the other day, and he was trying to help them with their wildfire problems. And I thought, boy, out of all the people you could sign up to help you with wildfires, I don't know why you'd want to get this guy's advice. Anyways, that's not why I called. I'm calling, and I'm not trying to blackpill anyone today, but I saw this alarming report this morning that a record number of women want to leave the United States. And this is a Gallup poll of 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. And it shows that in 2014,
it was 10%. But this year of 2025, it's 40%. And I'm thinking, boy, if guys are already having a hard time asking girls out for dates and we're not getting married, not having kids, and can't buy houses, and, you know, 4 out of 10 women say, look, man, I'm just going to catch the next plane out of town. I'm done. That's not a good sign. I think it may be that maybe communism, Marxism, socialism, all these things are creeping into the point for decades and decades now, to the point where, you know, the pendulum has swung past the point of the middle now. They are now moving into momentum. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, your proof, of course, is your Mamdani, Zoran Mamdani.
Well, you
there's
know, it's
your proof.
Tim, you know what's so crazy? I mean, this might actually work out well for men, though. I mean, this is likely just the liberal women fleeing. I don't think conservative women would flee to another country. So this might actually help out men sift out the bad.
I agree. That's fair. That's a good point. Okay, I'm not backfilled after all.
See, you came in with the black pill and I served you up something a little bit more optimistic.
See, you're fair. You're fair and balanced. You said you are. And you really do a great job, too. I've heard you, like, virtually every day, except for the time when I have left. I have a doctor's appointment or something, but I hear you all the time. I used to even hear you when you were on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have a busy schedule. Saturdays are my farmer's market days now, so we no longer do the Saturdays show. But, you know, you got more of me. We're 5 days a week now, so... We'll celebrate that. Tim, thank you for calling into the show. It was a delightful experience speaking to you, of course. And you bring up that great poll because I totally missed that one. So that's a good one. So thanks for putting that on my radar. I want to turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Brianna? Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing good. I've done some research over the years, and the Epstein thing was really kind of, it was on the surface. We were talking about it before the election. And we've all discovered that it's pretty much a lot of the AI models would tell you if they're not locked into lying everything, that most of the people that committed the Epstein or not the COVID crimes at the higher up levels were all compromised at Epstein Island. The hospital executives, the insurance executives, the scientists, everybody, they were all compromised there. Bill Gates, everybody. I mean, if Trump really wants to establish some sort of legacy, he could move against Gates. That's his only option for redemption, in my view, is if he moved against Gates and Fauci. And so what if the whole Epstein thing, I mean, it's not because it's going to collapse the economy. It's going to implicate the Department of Defense of poisoning the public. I think that's the reason why he's protecting the Epstein files. But if we don't relent and we demand our due, you know, because we definitely want the truth, and or they're just going to set the precedent that we don't matter. And they're gonna flip us off and say thank you very much for our vote. So we have to be better than that. We have to demand accountability. We have to demand the Epstein files, or you know they're just gonna continuously treat us as if we're in a daycare and sell us our rights out. So God bless.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I mean, I'm all on board for demanding it. I mean, at this point, yes, it gets on my nerves that Democrats have used this political point for them. I mean, they're just doing it just because they probably likely have planted something bad in those files that they probably are going to try to move to get President Trump impeached with. I think that's probably what the holdup is here. I wish you'd just flat out come out and say it, though, because I don't like the fact that he calls it a hoax, because it's not a hoax, that we all know what happened there. So I think it's very, I know that's not what he means. He's not trying to say that it didn't happen. He's just trying to say that probably that there was something planted in it. So you're very likely correct. Tim, thanks for calling into the show. We appreciate it. We've got about 3 more minutes. I'll go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, we've got a short window of time, but welcome back, my friend.
Thanks. I'm not going to play this call for my wife because I text my ex-girlfriend, unbeknownst to her, and I have one employer with the same name, Han Liu, and my ex-girlfriend came from China on the H-1B visa, and now she owned her own business, and I agree with the criticisms, but also there's a second side to it. The other Han, she opened a business, and I work for the Chinese people, often our clients in the fashion industry and other industries, and they're the best people to work with. They always pay the day of the shoot, and I wanted to say that people, also my wife is Asian. She came here, barely spoke English, yet she was the best student when she studied to be a medical technician. And now she's a nurse. And it raises the level of the education system by having better students. Just like school choice, it pressures the failing schools and manufacturing, car manufacturing. When we battled with Japan, it raises. And also, I want to link it to your video, where the infamous video where the guy was stalking you. Asian students, Asian people commit less crimes, less violent crimes. So they're quality people that we're bringing into the country. And you and I are Italian, and they use, as far as like lower wages, they use the term Guinea for us. And that was historically because the Italians stayed and they worked for lower wages. So if it wasn't for people working for lower wages, immigrants, we wouldn't be in this great country. And that's part of our system. It's not just a corporate greed. I heard the guy Fishburne on your show. He was like, well, corporate greed in tech, but he pays less for the product. So it works both ways. So that's part of our system, is to have immigrants that work for less. I hired construction guys. They charge a little less. They did excellent work. And so a lot of the Chinese people are the salt of the earth, the Asian people. If I wasn't married to my wife at Columbia University, I worked with the students there, I would be married to another Asian lady, Chinese lady, maybe. But I'm just saying that there's two sides to the story.
Andrew, you're outsourcing the job.
Right, but
you're outsourcing the job to another Asian woman if you're being your wife. That's what I heard there.
That's why I'm not going to play this call. But I'm just saying that people come here and they work for lower wages. That's part of the system. And lastly, my other side is Slovak. And my grandfather was a coal miner working for low wages. So people got energy for lower wages because immigrants came here and were willing to do those jobs. And the Chinese students are always the best students. So they pressure us to rise to the level. Just like my wife would wake up at 4:30 in the morning and translate everything from English to Thai. And she was the best student, despite that there were native-born students that spoke English as their first language. So right there, and she influences me on a daily basis. So
yeah, well, it's good to hear, Andrew, and it's good to hear you detail your argument on that front. We could agree to disagree on the H-1B visa thing, but I understand what your take is on that. So thank you for calling in. As always, it's a pleasure to hear from you folks. We're going to continue taking calls. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Into the next hour of the show, we'll do just that. So give me a ring, give me a call, and we'll chat. We'll chat about the news stories that we've discussed thus far. If you have something on your mind, give us a call now. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just changed over the BOGO sale. Shilajit gummies is what we got going on right now. It's buy one, get one free. Plus, when you purchase a supplement, you're going to get a free InfoWars hat. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check it out. A lot going on over there. A lot of great gifts that you could purchase. Again, these gummies are popular for many, many reasons. Number one, they increase your cellular energy, testosterone as well. It helps support that. It also helps improve mental clarity. And so, folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you go try it out over at the shop. This sale won't last forever. It does end tomorrow. But head on over to the Alex Jones store now. More coming up in the third hour of the program. Don't go anywhere and give us a ring if you haven't done so already. A call, 877-789-2539. I'll talk with you guys in a moment.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
The